eyes back in the news again lately for good stuff like helping you find your glasses, and bad stuff like telling people to eat rocks, and ugly stuff like making Scarlett Johansson angry. So what is going on? Well, Elaine Burke from For Tech's Sake is here now with all the answers. It's great to have you on the show talking about tech stuff.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Eurovision today.
we did off air though. Yeah, I was like, I just need the whole glasses.
We caught up.
Yeah, we've got all that to the side now. But I mean, look, this is back in your domain, in your comfort zone. You know exactly what's not interesting about Eurovision. But Elaine, look, we've all heard about ChatGPT, and that's going back ages now, and how it was going to change jobs and be the end of homework. So why is there so much AI news all of a sudden?
Okay, so the context for why you're getting so many AI headlines, more so than usual, there's already loads, is because OpenAI and Google, two big players in this space, both did announcements practically on top of each other very recently. Google does this developers conference called I.O. every year. Everyone knows it's coming up. Everyone knows they're going to make a big announcement at it. And the day before, OpenAI scheduled what it called a spring update and made very similar announcements to what Google ended up announcing the following day.
I kind of love this.
Yeah, in terms of like the rivalry and the spiciness there, it's a bit of fun that that happened. And I mean, OpenAI really won the media game in that respect, because a lot of people ended up talking about OpenAI's event and not so much about Google's AI. Whole conference.
Oh my god!
On its announcements.
So, oh my god! Yeah. They didn't have to do any raps at this conference, did they? This is what we were talking about.
No, they
morning.
Did have a musician playing around with the AI, and there's always cringy moments at these developers conferences, because you all, like, they're techie people trying to do these charismatic presentations, and it doesn't always land.
Doesn't need to happen. No. Doesn't it? We're okay sitting bored, no wondering what's going on. Yeah. Just let the computers talk. You know, like let them do the stuff.
You can blame Steve Jobs for this thing. Like, he started this whole idea of like the big tech event that gets broadcast globally, and people really like people who aren't like even tech journalists sign on for it, and they're just kind of fans of the technology and enthusiasts about it. But it's gone too far now. I want them to stop.
Yeah, okay, well, fair enough. So do we all, because like I'm internally dying. I'm like, well, maybe it's just the Irish in us as well. We're not able for, you know, these big grand gestures and stuff. You're like, no, nobody's able for this. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the good parts of Google's big rebrand, because their new product can help you find your glasses, translate languages and all sorts. Were you impressed?
Yeah. No, I was impressed. So the demo you're talking about, they're doing this thing where they're kind of combining a form of AI called computer vision. So it enables basically a computer to be able to see the things around them. And it was doing that like live in this demo. Now, I say live with like a caveat there, because these are controlled demos. These aren't products that are released for other people to test and see how well they work. But it showed this guy kind of like roaming around his office, and he was in London, and he goes to the window and he's like asking, he's also communicating with the AI, and he's saying, where am I, based on like this view of the street? And it says where he is in London. And at the end of the video, he's like, oh yeah, and where are my glasses? And earlier on in the video, there was a frame where the glasses were there, and it told him where to go back to. Now, it wasn't actually live viewing everything. It was actually getting frames of that video and processing them. Because if you think about how much processing power it would take for an AI to be scanning frame by frame live video, and to do it at such a quick rate, that would be crazy impressive. Yeah. And that's what it looked like. But then when you go into the detail after the demo has come out and you find out exactly how they did it, it's still impressive, but it's not quite the level that they're kind of advertising it to be at.
So
and that's
all
where we're at now. This really hype phase of AI, where the demos look really slick, they look really cool, but it's kind of like when you see an ad for an iPhone and it says things like sequence shortened, because the tech never does actually work like that in real life. So just bear in mind that these are generally like advertising events, these product announcements.
So if we're losing all of our stuff, like me, I have AirTags on everything I own, like, because I am chronic at actually losing things, so this wouldn't really be that great for me.
Because you're better off sticking with AirTags and stuff like that, because otherwise you'd have to be wearing something like maybe like a form of glasses that has AI embedded in it, or be going around with your phone filming everything that you do constantly. And I don't know how practical that would be for you. And also, like, just think of the energy uses that
it's
would
too
take.
Much.
Like, your carbon footprint would go sky high.
Yeah, we'll take it down a notch. We might just try and remember where I've left things. Okay, the less impressive side of all of this, even though we've kind of debunked that one ever so slightly, is when it advised people to put glue on pizza. This phenomenal. How did this happen?
Yeah, Google's really having a bad time. Product releases. So what we have now is this thing called Google Gemini, because they had to rebrand what they originally called Bard, being their AI product like ChatGPT, because Bard had such a bad release and it made mistakes in their own announcements, and it was just embarrassing.
So
their
Bard
stock price
isn't
went
really
down.
The greatest name, is it?
No, it's not great. No. Gemini is a cooler name.
So Nadine Coyle all over it.
Yeah, so
making me a Gemini.
Oh my God, they should get her on board to promote this. So they're plugging this into their search, and they said that they're going to introduce these things called AI overviews. So an AI generated result will pop up when you search for something, and some journalists had a go and found some funny results. So some people asked, how many rocks should I eat? And it gave advice on how many rocks you should eat per day. And that was actually, when you think about how this happens, how does Google generate an answer like that? It's because the satirical site, The Onion, I don't know if you've come across them before. It's like a Waterford Whispers news kind of website. So it looks like a news website, but it's all satire. It's all jokes. They wrote an article years ago from like the American Geological Society purporting to be from saying how many rocks you should eat per day. It was a joke. But that still is presented online like news content. And like an AI can't tell the difference between a joke and news. It doesn't infer satire. Like it's not critical reasoning. So if you ask, how many rocks should I eat? It will say, this is how many rocks according to the American Geological Association.
Oh my God.
It also plugged in Reddit as well as news.
Oh no.
Now
plug it out.
People go to Reddit for advice, and sometimes they do get good advice, but they know how to use critical thinking and they know how to infer when someone's being sarcastic with that advice. And someone may be asked on Reddit about how to get the cheese to stay on their pizza. Because you know, they sometimes like slips and slides away and you don't want it like that. And someone on Reddit, I think, suggested glue. But Google's AI overviews then plugs that into as a search result. And someone Googles, how do I get the cheese to stay on my pizza? And it says, just use some Elmer's glue, which is like this PVA glue that would be popular in craft shops in the States.
Okay, so just a disclaimer, not that anybody needs it, but don't eat rocks and definitely don't go eating glue.
One tech journalist claims she tried the glue pizza just to really like push the reviews to the next level. There was a picture of her eating a pizza. I really hope she didn't have to.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm too skeptical about this kind of things. So I'm like, oh. Okay, now if Google AI overviews, it's designed to stop you using search engines, like, is that not kind of bad for Google?
Bad for Google, I'd say worse for publishers. Okay. Obviously, I'm coming from a bias of being in publishing for a really long time. But we already had this challenge with Google search results where people would scan the list of results and take things, because Google built out more than just a list of results. It also built out what was called the knowledge graph, where you get snippets of information and maybe just the answer to the question that you were searching for without ever having to visit the page that was delivering.
This is all I do for can my dog eat? And it's just cucumbers, tomatoes, like, and it tells me immediately yes
or
no.
And in those cases, it is usually extracting exactly that information from the page. So it's not creating its own version of that as it would be doing with generative AI. So you are getting like the context that as it was delivered in, you're just not visiting that page. And that's bad for that business because they're not getting page views, and page views are very, very valuable in the online publishing industry. So Google already had that problem with publishing and not actually directing traffic properly. They have worked with publishers, and publishers have worked within the Google system to get around that. And now they've got this new challenge where their content, because it exists online and it's free to access, free for bots to scrape it, it means that all of the content that they've worked on for years, the archives that they put like lots of money and effort and resources into, that gets plugged into a large language model, generates responses for people that it doesn't even say where it came from, doesn't even tell you that it came from the work of XYZ journalists, doesn't tell you the work that went into it. It doesn't give any traffic to their website. So a lot of the information that it's trading off of, the people who provided that will get no payoff from it. And that's a problem. But what's interesting, very recently, like within the last 24 hours, OpenAI is starting to make more deals with publishers.
Oh, okay.
Now, Google has a fairly wobbly reputation in terms of making deals with publishers. It's tried to avoid doing it over time, even though there's been pressure on it to do so. And OpenAI seems to be starting now, not early enough in many ways, but it is starting now early in its development to partner with the likes of News Corp. Vox Media is one of the new sign-ons for it. And Vox Media has a lot of brands in the States, a lot of tech news, a lot of culture news and stuff like that. So it is starting to create partnerships with publishers, and it will apparently cite their resources have been used when they've been used and direct traffic back to those.
But that's
websites.
Only fair. Like, okay, look, we're not ever going to be able to stop technology, but we need to learn how to make sure that it actually works for the people at the end of it. And the people who've put, as exactly what you said, all this hard work in, worked on all these archives, have put, you know, like hours, months, years into all of this. The least you can do is a little credit at the end of it.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other way that we need to think about how this tech best serves us is to have a good think about, would it actually be a good idea for generative AI to be spouting out results in search queries in that kind of context? Because we already have an issue when it comes to search where you can actually, if you have a certain belief you can usually find something to back that up somewhere online. Whether it's reputable or not remains to be seen. But like, you can usually find something online. If you can think of it, it probably exists already online. You can even find someone who'll tell you to book Luna Pizza if that's what you're looking for, or tell you to eat rocks. Like, the possibilities are endless. So what that creates often is these feedback loops and confirmation bias, where the framing of your question and the way you ask it into a search engine, it's actually just going to give you the results that prove your biases rather than counter them.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to do that. That would be way worse in terms of generative AI, because the way a lot of these chatbots work, and that's what we'd be kind of talking about here, is that you put in a query and you get a response generated by a chatbot. They kind of work on this idea of trying to please you as a user, and they're reading off of the things that you've put into it. So your inputs actually guide the outputs. So it's even more biased towards trying to give you the answers that it thinks you want, not necessarily the answers you need or the information that you need, or like, you know, both. And it does both sides things a lot. I think people actually think it has a bit of a problem with doing that. But I do think if you phrase questions in a certain way, you will be in an even deeper echo chamber than we already find ourselves
in. I was just going to say, it's essentially a yes man at the end of the computer, where you're kind of going, well, I would like this to be confirmed ever so slightly. And then it does. Yeah, I understand exactly where you come from. We talked obviously about OpenAI launching their new chatbot the day before Google. Stunning comedic timing. But they managed to upset Scarlett Johansson in the midst of all this. And we had been talking about this during the week as well. But was this a stunt, or like, what happened here?
This is quite interesting. So the big focus of this OpenAI demo, the part that got all the headlines, was this new voice technology. So there was already voice technology with ChatGPT, but this was really advanced, because what was happening was it was responding quite quickly. There was no what's called latency or delay in the responses. And it didn't seem to have to, I think what the earlier model did was to basically translate the audio into text, input that into the model. All that takes a bit of time and delays the responses. This was conversational, essentially.
This is terrifying.
With an AI. Yeah, and the voice sounded really natural and quite charming and charismatic as well.
As someone who uses their voice for work, this is absolutely terrifying.
And the voice sounded very similar, I felt, to Scarlett Johansson. Yeah. Now, that, you know, some people say they didn't cop that it sounded like Scarlett Johansson, but I feel like there's context there in the fact that she played an AI in the movie Her. Everyone who works in this industry is familiar with that film. They use it constantly as like a reference point of like sci-fi can now become reality. And I thought it straight away that it sounded like Scarlett Johansson. Her friends and family apparently texted her about it and said, did you work with OpenAI? And it turns out they had approached her and asked her to work on this voice. And she had said, no, thank you. And then suspiciously come out with this product that sounds like her. Now, they have also released documentation to say that they hired this particular voice actress even before they'd reached out to Scarlett Johansson. And there's nothing in the documentation to say, yes, we asked someone to sound like Scarlett Johansson, or we sought out someone. But there's also nothing to say that that wasn't happening off the paper and like in oral discussions between them. Because Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, is definitely a fan of trying to create this her entity that Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with in the film. And even tweeted just the word her during
my God.
The demo.
It's like,
so you can't, there's no plausible deniability there.
No.
They may have thought, oh, we found this actress, by coincidence, she sounds like Scarlett Johansson. They may have then tried to reach out to the real Scarlett Johansson and she said no, but they already had this actress booked. They also, I hate this, they specified in their advertising for their voice actors that they had to be non-union.
Oh.
Which is also just gross. And Scarlett Johansson, famously a union actress, and also famously asserts her rights as an actress and an owner of like her voice and her image as a product.
Yeah.
So she is going down the legal route. We'll see what happens there. But it just doesn't show good practice. But it, like, this is how OpenAI has operated. They've taken things that other people created, turned them into something else, and are doing the classic tech bro move of ask forgiveness, not permission.
I know. And look, we all apply that to our life in some way, shape or form. Boy, this time it's like, wait, the computers could be taking over. So take a little break. Elaine, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about why AI is big all over the news again. That was Elaine Burke from For Tech Sake Podcast.